are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zimmer. It's my privilege to serve as the minister of this congregation, and I'm joined in welcoming you this morning by Max Grubb, who's serving as our worship associate, and our director of religious education, Karen Lapidus. Our music director, Hal Walker, is playing at a Unitarian Universalist congregation in the Washington, D.C. area this morning, and so we're delighted to have guests joining us. We have Jesse Young, a member of the congregation, accompanying the hymns and playing some other music for us, and Tim Starin is our guest musician this morning. You'll recognize him. He's been here several times before. He enjoys playing here, loves to come back. He is a violin teacher at Hiram and leads the orchestra at Hiram and lives in Brimfield with a Pomeranian, a cockatiel, and avowedly too many pond fish. So speak to him if you're looking for pond fish. Welcome, Tim. An item that I'd like to bring to your attention has to do with our service this morning. You perhaps saw us advertising that we were going to be exploring a little bit differently this morning with an invitation for you to participate via social media. So we encouraged you, if you had one, to bring a device that would allow you to connect to Facebook or to tweet on Twitter. Now, you can tweet using a cell phone that has texting capacity. So if you have any of those devices this morning, later in the service, you'll be invited to utilize them to participate in our service. If you are trying to connect to our Wi-Fi, you'll see the church's name in the connections, and there is no password, so you can just get online. And we'll be on the church's Facebook page, and which is Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent, and also the church's Twitter account, which is UU Kent, at UU Kent. If you did not bring any device, fear not. We have a low-tech paper option available to you. So if you would like to participate in the commenting and have no device and did not get paper when you came in, go ahead and let the ushers know that. I also think a couple of people brought extra devices to share. If you really would like to play and don't have one, Max has an extra device, and I think that there's someone, Lori maybe has an extra device as well. So feel free to share with your neighbors. We light this chalice to affirm that new light is ever waiting to break through to enlighten our ways, that new truth is ever waiting to break through to illumine our minds, and that new love is ever waiting to break through to warm our hearts. May we be open to this light and the rich possibilities it brings us.
There is no answer outside the human being. The machine's hidden agenda turns out to be our own agenda. There is no capability of the computer that can't be made to look good in one light and bad in another. Which light should we choose? Only the light and the darkness emanating from the human heart. And the end of the 20th century, it seems scarcely possible to stand in this light and this darkness without worrying deeply about the terms of our inner pact with the computer. Come join me this morning as we explore the light and darkness of our spiritual relationship with technology.
In our RE classrooms, there is a time for joys and concerns when the children share those things on their minds and in their hearts that are most important to them. I must say that often I come away from these sharing times with some concerns of my own. Many of the children express what I call virtual joys. They report on their achievements on computer games, detailing which level they got to and how many points they earned and so forth. And they often have few or no real joys from their lives to report. So at the risk of sounding like a Luddite or just an old-fashioned church lady, I must admit that this worries me, especially in light that the core of our congregation's mission is to inspire people to live lives of meaning and purpose. And we hear and read a lot in the news about both the risks and the benefits of childhood exposure to computer games and other applications on handheld devices. And the data is conflicting and confusing. Yes, we know that being computer savvy upon arriving in kindergarten does give a child a head start in the classroom. But is time spent seated in front of a screen taking away from time spent outside, being active, exploring, running, skipping? And yes, using handheld devices as a form of entertainment during a long car ride or in a restaurant will help everyone in the family to have a more peaceful and enjoyable time. But will a family's reliance on screen diversions impact the child's ability to use their own imagination to avoid boredom? And this reliance on electronic amusements is not just a problem for children. So this is true confession time. There's a certain Mahjong game that seems to, it attracts too much of my attention at times. So who else likes to play electronic games such as this? Lots of hands. And what are some examples of what you like to play? What do you play, Viv?
Well, I like to go back to sort of the old-fashioned games like Pac-Man, but on a computer.
The old-school Pac-Man type games, 80s games. Who else has a favorite game? Ginger?
Sudoku.
Sudoku. Logan?
Try to get my tablet to work so that I can at least rotate the screen.
Aw. And I know what your favorite game is. Minecraft, right? Yeah. And Legend of Zelda. Who else? How about you, Connor?
Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed. I don't want to even know about that one, I don't think. How about you, Maya?
Shanghai.
Those all sound like fun games. So, I invite you to join me in a challenge, however, a challenge to apply balance to our screen habits. I plan to keep track of the time that I spend looking at the Mahjong tiles, and then I intentionally plan to spend at least that much time each day doing something active, something purposeful, something meaningful, and I'm sure it will be equally fun. So every minute spent in front of the screen experiencing virtual joy will translate into equal or more time experiencing real joy. Now, who will join me in this challenge? I see lots of takers. Wish I saw more. There's more. All right. Thank you.
One of the many important ministries we have here in our church is the care team. At this time, I'd like to invite forward the current members of the care team who are able to join us for this service: Colleen Teeley, Swanee Vanida, Shayna Steinhaus, Bonnie Harper, Noreen Gorey, Diana Watt, Reverend Christy Anderson, who sits on our care team as our commission lay leader, and Patty Miller, who is our team's coordinator. Each of these people have made a commitment to help strengthen the ethic of care that we hold for all the members and friends of our community. Patty has a few words to say about what our care team is and what it does.
Well, there are two parts to our care team. Helping Hands provide assistance to individuals and families who are experiencing difficult times. The limited care would include making and delivering meals, transportation, emergency child care, shopping, running errands, and light housework. The Pastoral Associate Listening Team, PAL, offers confidential support by providing a listening ministry of presence to members and friends who are experiencing any of life's stressful events or suffer from a chronic illness or limited mobility. If you would like to make a request for services, contact Melissa or myself. Our phone numbers and emails are in the brochure.
And this brochure is in your order of service with much more information. I invite you to take time later to read through it. Colleen also has a few words to say about the insert you'll find in the care team brochure.
Hi, everyone. You're going to find inside your care brochure, you'll find this little white piece of paper. This is the Helping Hands volunteer form. And what I'm going to ask of you today, Swanee and I coordinate the Helping Hands Network. We need you to fill out this form. Basically, the more people we have that are willing to help out our congregation, our friends in need, the better. We don't email you or spam your email every week. You might just be called on a few times a year, if that even, right? But please do fill it out. When the basket comes around for the offertory, then you can just put it in the basket. What we need from you is an email, a phone number, and then check which services you'd be willing to provide to someone should they need your help. Really important, make sure you let us know what is the best way to reach you. Phone number, text message, or email. And then please, if you're like me, I have like 7 emails for different reasons. Please give us the email that you check the most often. And it's okay to say you can't help out. Actually, I'd much rather you say just one time yes than not sign up at all. So please give us a hand by signing up for our team.
And for those who are already on it, if you do it again, fill it out again so we know that you're still willing to be in the network. We'd appreciate that. There are so many ways that our congregation supports us to live caring lives of meaning and purpose. Today, we lift up and celebrate our care team for the important work they do in helping us to live into our mission. We all need a little help sometimes, and when that time comes around for you, please don't hesitate to reach out. Giving and receiving in turn, that is how we live. Thank you all for your service. So, our wisdom words this morning come from a video created by the Cleveland Clinic. I thought it only fitting in a service exploring our relationship with technology that we view one of the many inspirational videos that are circulating around on the internet, and this is one that captured my attention. And I invite you to join with me now in the spirit of prayer. Blessed Spirit of life and of love, we give thanks for these many gifts that we have been given. In this moment, we acknowledge again the preciousness of the gifts and pledge again to live our lives in ways that honor this giftedness, that honor the life in ourselves and the life in all those we meet. May our capacity for empathy be awakened, and with that awakening, may we strive again to live each and every day with kindness for ourselves, for each other, and this world we share. Amen, and blessed be. So now we begin our time for exploration. So again, as a reminder, if you have a device, you can connect to post on Facebook or to tweet to the church's Twitter account. The Twitter account is at UU Kent. The Facebook page is Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent. And I need to thank Dan Flippo and Jennifer May, who this wouldn't have been possible without their help. I don't have these many skills, but they do. And so I'm grateful for them enabling us to experiment like this together in our exploration. And so we're going to ask a question. We're actually going to ask 3 questions. And Max and I have reflections about each of those questions that we'll share with you. While we're sharing, you're welcome to post your own reflections. And you'll be able to see them. Twitter is on the left and Facebook is on the right. So you'll be able to see what one another is saying. And you're welcome to respond to one another as we're sharing our own reflections. After we share our reflections, we'll take a look and have an opportunity to maybe respond to 1 or 2 comments, depending on time. And if you are participating in the low-tech version of this sharing, after we share our reflections, I'll come down, and if you have something to say, just hold up one of your slips of paper. I'll collect them. I can't promise to read them all, but as time permits, we'll share those as well. And just a word of to consider, when you're posting on social media, the space that you have to do so is limited. So if you're writing, you might consider yourself playing by the same rules. So Twitter limits you to 140 characters. So the first question is, how have your use of technology and social media hindered your spiritual growth?
I'll share just a thought of mine. As a child growing up in a significantly dysfunctional family system, I watched an inordinate amount of television to avoid feeling the pain, hurt, and anger that I experienced. Television hindered me from connecting with myself. Now it's even easier, and if I'm not careful, I can easily lose myself with the internet and all it has to offer. I can get lost in searching the web or through obsessive involvement in Facebook or LinkedIn, even becoming engrossed in checking my email.
So this question is almost too easy. There are countless ways technology and social media can hinder our spiritual growth. In addition to wasting away precious time and mindless online pursuits, consider also the dangers of texting while driving, manipulative sexting, exploitive scamming, and the dangers of cyberbullying and stalking. There are also many ways to develop and further addictions online to things like gambling and pornography, not to mention the risks of using our technology and social media consumption to exclusively reinforce our own view. That's super easy to do online. One of the many ways my own use has hindered my spiritual growth is with the level of frustration I can experience when I can't figure out how to make my technology work. Just this week, for example, I spent several hours working with Mary Beth in the office trying to figure out how to change the password settings on our Wi-Fi so it would be easy for you to participate today. It seemed like an easy enough job, but because the signal over here is repeated from the Eldridge Annex, it became much more complicated than we anticipated, and really neither of us had the skill level to figure that out. By the time we were finally done, I was so incredibly frustrated, both by the struggle to try to figure it out and the amount of time it took. In that moment, it was kind of an anti-spiritual growth exercise. So, how about you? Raise your papers if you have something to say, or we're going to take a look at what you said. So Danny actually is the first post on the Twitter page, and she was really sad that she couldn't be in the service because she has other obligations this morning, so she was going to participate remotely. So clearly she's not fully doing whatever it is she's doing remotely because she's following us on Twitter. She's distracted by the service.
I think I spend less time actually being with people I care about because I spend so much time chatting with them on Facebook. One of the things that people, researchers have observed that as we've found more televisions, more computers in the household, and they're being put in bedrooms and all that, the children have gone away, and the social dynamics of the family have changed, sort of disconnecting with each other.
So Lois says that her smartphone offers her instant diversion in odd moments that she used to use just to think. Limits opportunities for introspection. Does anybody resonate with that? Yeah, lots of people. Maybe. So have any of you, so Colleen writes that there are times when her kids come to her and pull her away from the computer. Have any of you had that experience of other people asking for you to get off your device and pay attention to them in the room? Yes. So someone says that her mother held on to her rotary telephone until the very end and she understands. You know, this really resonates with me because I talked to a couple people this week who were sort of like not very happy that we were even having this service. I think that the pace of change in technology is, you know, people who are very, very tech savvy and who have devoted their professional careers can stay on top of it. But I think most of us who don't necessarily have significant technological skills have to, if we want to stay connected with the ways in which technology is changing, we have to devote the time to learning how to use it. And I personally feel ambivalent about that. You know, I'm not an early adopter. My spouse is, and my spouse loves everything, you know, that you can do online, and was on Facebook years before I was. And it took me realizing that half the church was on Facebook before I decided that it was finally time that I got on Facebook. And part of my hesitancy in exploring all of these new opportunities is truly the amount of time that it takes. And there are ways in which I'd rather be spending that doing other things. So I really resonate with that. And I think that that's a challenge that many people experience. So Hal is joining us from D.C. So if someone asks if I can't participate in this, will I miss important church information? That's another really good question. You know, we're really, I think in 30 years, my sense is that everything is going to be online, and there's a great effort now to reach people with limited financial means and also who have maybe been left out of these technological developments in other ways. I just read something in the paper about a grant to reach seniors in our community who haven't learned how to go online yet, with classes specifically designed for seniors to teach them how to create Facebook accounts so they can stay connected to their kids and their grandkids and use email and that kind of thing. So I think that there's a deliberative effort to bring people along in this technological wave. But at this point in time, I think we're still growing into that. And so my own sense is that our organization, that our church, needs to continue to find ways to duplicate our communication. So we share everything on our Facebook page and on our website, but we also still print that thread from the web every week. Now, there are people who would like us not to print that because it's a waste of paper and we can share it all online. But until the time comes when everybody truly is online, I think we have to continue to keep doing both. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move to our second question, which is, how have your use of technology and social media helped your spiritual growth? Where are we at? So to explore this question, we might start with our terms. Spirituality has to do with our connection to ourselves, to each other, to the world we share, and to that which is larger than ourselves. It has to do with empathy, compassion, and kindness. It also has to do with our ability to tolerate ambiguity, to deal in a mature way with the contradictions in ourselves and in other people. We all have them. And also with our sense of responsibility as citizens of this planet. So spirituality has as much to do with how we act as it does to do with how we feel or what we believe. Defined in this way, we can think of spiritual growth as any activity or experience that helps us strengthen these capacities. Some people want to erect a dividing line between the spiritual and the secular, but I believe that we can encounter opportunities for spiritual growth everywhere, even online. Just these past few weeks, I've been exploring, and I have done many things that I have never done before, including I went to church online, explored spiritual practices online, read spiritually illuminating articles, watched spiritually uplifting videos, and even learned about small group ministry opportunities that all take place either online or through social media. There are so many resources available to us, many more than we could possibly have time to explore.
I was a newly minted PhD when I accepted a faculty position at Southern Illinois University and moved to Carbondale, Illinois. And as many of you are aware, the PhD journey can be a spiritually depriving process. By the time we arrived in Carbondale, I was in desperate need of spiritual rejuvenation. Just ask my wife. Not knowing anyone in our new community, and at the encouragement of my wife, I searched the internet for resources and support where I could connect with others like myself who shared the same spiritual journey. I found men's groups and gatherings, and this led me to the Mentone, Alabama Men's Gathering, which I attended annually for years. This gathering and online resources provided me the means for me to connect with like men and with myself. The internet gave me the tools to tap into the thoughts, reflections, and experiences that others had to offer, providing me the spiritual food that I needed to reconnect with myself spiritually.
So how have your use of technology and social media helped your spiritual growth? Again, you can use paper or post. So someone posts that they're able to study other religions and better understand other religions and other people. I think that that is such an important opportunity that we can take advantage of. And I think Twitter is actually, this is my sense from our conversations, that Twitter is actually used in that capacity even more than Facebook, that people all around the world are, because so many people in developing countries and in just about every country have mobile devices. And so Twitter is easily accessible to most people around the world, and lots of folks utilize Twitter in order to communicate in many ways that people here might utilize the telephone, because texting is often, in some countries, Max was explaining to me that the way in which charges happen are differently than they do in the United States. So someone talks about connecting to UU writers and bloggers like Peace Bang and the Family Pants. The Family Pants is actually written by one of the very own members of our congregation. It's a fantastic blog. Colleen Thiele, check it out if you haven't. Peace Bang is a Unitarian Universalist minister who has a whole online ministry in addition to serving a standing bricks and mortar congregation. She is, I think she's at the cutting edge of exploring ways in which we can use social media to spread the word of Unitarian Universalism and connect with people, especially younger people and people who are early adopters of technology and really embrace that as a way of living their lives on a daily basis. She has a lot of really important things to say about that. A lot of people are talking about being able to stay connected with family and friends all over the world, and also, let's see, Angela's talking about a Facebook group that's specifically for family members. So my own family, for example, my sisters often are getting their cell phones turned on and off because they're of their financial situation, but they always have access, and so I know that if I can't reach them by phone, I can reach them on Facebook. So Nicole's talking about her access to resources for books to explore religious beliefs and communicate and discuss those beliefs with others. The opportunities for talking and communicating with other people online that's actually not something that I've taken a lot of advantage of, but my spouse does, and she has relationships with people that are meaningful and significant that she actually hasn't ever met in person. They're online relationships that they really know one another and share important things about their lives in some of these groups that she's in. And sometimes has actually the opportunity to meet them in person at national conferences or in other places, but not always. Sometimes they're truly online relationships. So maybe one more. If Max, did you have anything you wanted to respond to?
I mean, I see a lot of talk and of discussion is being able to connect, being able to understand people better, more compassion, getting to know your fellow UUs. You know, that's one of the things I think is one of the greatest benefits of this is the connectivity and being able to engage each other electronically, even if we can't be there face-to-face. It gives us this ability to do so, whether we're here in the same room or whether we're on the other side of the world. And I think that helps to generate better understanding.
So our last question this morning is, what choices do you imagine you individually or we as a community might make in the future regarding technology, social media, and our spiritual lives?
For the last 16 years, I have been involved in a number of international development projects. And through this experience, I have seen what technology can do to overcome xenophobia, gain new global perspectives, and to improve the lives of humans around the world. I have seen firsthand how the internet through social media has created a better understanding among people from different countries. Through Facebook, I'm able to maintain contact and work with people from Russia, Egypt, former Soviet Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Nigeria, Kenya, and Morocco, to name just a few countries. A Harvard-educated doctor developed a short video that teaches aid workers and others in Haiti how to create a simple solution of clean water, sugar, and salt called oral rehydration therapy, or ORT, to deal with the deadly effects of diarrhea resulting from the cholera that arose from the earthquake. It's delivered via mobile phone and has saved many lives. As early as the mid-1980s, ORT education delivered through electronic technology decreased infant mortality in Egypt by 60% in just 1 year, from 153,000 in 1983 to just 92,000 in 1984. Even in the poorest of nations, we see where technology has benefited people, through improving their physical well-being or through social justice pursuits. Recently, we taught journalists in former Soviet Georgia to use Bamboozer, a smartphone app which allows them to stream video from their phone to the web. Thus, when the police confiscates or destroy their equipment, as they did 2 years ago when covering a protest, the video is preserved for editors to access and transmit. Technology gives us the tools to connect globally with others and support each other in human development and social justice causes.
Our congregation here in Kent is still just beginning to find smart ways to use our technology and social media to enhance our spiritual lives. We have a great website and Facebook page, but we're still learning about ways to direct traffic to those pages. One thing you can do to help if you have a Facebook account is to like our church's Facebook page. Facebook is a tool that we can use for free and nearly passively to help increase exposure to Unitarian Universalism. The more people who like our Facebook page, the greater the exposure to Unitarian Universalism. It's just really that easy. There are still so many people who don't know that this faith tradition exists and who might really love to be a part of what we have to offer, whether they live in Kent or they live in California or they live in England. Facebook can help us passively spread the word. So can Twitter. Twitter takes a little bit more effort, but there's a whole group of people who post every Sunday, I guess tweet would be the appropriate word, to a hashtag that's hashtag UUPewBuddies. And these are people who have not necessarily met one another, but they're engaged in an ongoing conversation about the spiritual nurture they're finding on Sunday mornings at their Unitarian Universalist congregations. And so the sort of deal that they have is wherever they are, they capture interesting snippets or uplifting statements that they hear during the service and tweet them to Twitter. The Unitarian Universalist Association generally, and specific entities like the Standing on the Side of Love campaign and our online church, the Church of the Larger Fellowship, have all been leading the way in using social media to help people learn about this faith tradition, come in the door, either in person or online, and connect to opportunities for service, justice work, and spiritual growth. Resources like these can help us find effective ways to use the tools available to us to increase our reach, foster connections, build community, and help create a better world. Now, I'm not saying that online connections can replace face-to-face connections, but I am saying that our world is changing, and to stay relevant, we need to learn how to change with it. So what do you have to say about this question? So Brad says he's found nuances to spirituality and religion online that he would not have researched myself. And that is actually one of the most valuable uses of Facebook for me. I try to skim it each and every day, both because church members post important things about their lives on Facebook that I want to know, but also because my friends link to articles and videos that they've already vetted for me, you know, and they're people that I trust who are saying, this is really fabulous, so I'll open it in another window, and when I get time, I'll read through and find things that I never would have found myself. So that top post is Meg Riley about... No, is that Meg Riley? No, it's not. That's Connor. Connor! It's hard to see the pictures, Connor. So Connor's talking about Skype streaming and people being able to come to participate in the service even if they can't come to church. And that's something that we're really interested in exploring, both having the service every Sunday in Fessenden Hall for people who would rather have a more casual environment to experience the service. If we can figure out the technology, we'd also love to be able to have it streamed online, password protected, so if someone is sick or, you know, they're recovering from surgery or, like, they're just not going to make it out the door on time that morning, they can still attend the service virtually online. That's something we'd love to be able to offer.
There's so much there between and so many resources for social justice causes, from Transparency International to a number of different other organizations internationally that you can easily connect with and engage with.
So I hope that this conversation will continue. You have both of these venues to continue it and also coffee hour after the service. And if you have great ideas about how we might use these tools to enhance our own spiritual lives and spread the word of Unitarian Universalism, please do share them with us. This is a brave new world, and we're all learning how to go there together. One of the many ways that we support one another is by sharing our gifts and talents. As I mentioned, Jen and Dan helped make this service possible. They've also been the driving force behind our website. And one of the tools that we've just recently added to our website is the capability to make contributions, financial contributions to the church online. We know that many people no longer utilize cash on a day-to-day basis and deal with most of their financial transactions using their credit cards or online using PayPal. So there's that little button. So So please know that that's an option that's available to you. And just because it fit today and we'd like to share this with you, you'll notice in your order of service that there's a chalice that looks kind of like it has dots all over it. If you haven't seen such a thing before, this is called a QR code. And someone's giving us $1 million. That's fabulous. Weekly. So if you did not remember your checkbook this morning, but you have your smartphone, you can scan this QR code, and it will take you to our Facebook page, and you can make a financial contribution online. I send you with these words for Theodore Parker. May ours be a religion which, like sunshine, goes everywhere. Its temple, all space. Its shrine, the good heart. Its creed, all truth. Its ritual, works of love. Its profession of faith, divine living. Go in peace.